Hi folks, thanks for joining me again. My name's Stephen Cronin. Welcome to another episode of my watercolour diary. Today I'd like to answer a couple of questions Josephine left on my Patreon page. She asks, could I ask, how do you approach simplifying and improving on photographs? How do you choose what to keep, what to lose, and how to watercolours? So I think to give this a bit of context, photographs, for me personally, I imagine a lot of people, what we move on to once we've really started, after we've learnt painting from other paintings. I think it's not until you start trying to paint from photographs you realise how difficult it is. I've mentioned this in previous episodes. Painting from a photograph is much more difficult than painting from another painting. When you use the painting as reference, the artist has made 101 decisions, the composition, what to leave in, what to leave out, the colours, the tones. When you use a photograph, you've got to do that all of that yourself. So starting with Josephine's questions, how do you approach simplifying and improving on photos? So in terms of simplification, especially things like forest scenes or things with buildings and where there's loads and loads of detail and it just looks like a total nightmare and you think, oh, where on earth do I start? Probably easiest just to pick out the main shapes to start off with. It is difficult, but it will come with practice. Just pick out the main shapes and try and almost sort of blur your eyes and just try and just squint your eyes a bit just to try and pick out the main shapes and colours. I think this might help remove a lot of the excess detail and just start with that. And then once you've got the basic elements and the essence of the scene, then you can start adding little bits of detail afterwards until you feel happy that you've got enough so that you've captured your own decent impression of the scene and what you're looking for. A good example, if you look at some of my videos where I've done like forest scenes, the reference photo will have there's probably a million hundreds and hundreds of trees in the photograph, but I'm not going to paint hundreds of trees in the painting, so I'll just pick out just the main ones. A lot of them, I'm just, especially when the painting's beginning and it's still wet, I'm just flicking up and down with the rigger brush, just doing them sort of en masse, loads and loads at a time without even really thinking about it. And these are the ones you'll just see very, very faintly in the distance once the paper's dried and once the complete painting is finished in itself. And then as you come forward, I'll put them in stronger and stronger until there's just two or three stronger ones in the foreground, and it gives that element of depth. So I haven't painted every tree that's in the scene, but there's enough there to give the impression that it's like a woodland or a forest. Something I've only really recently started learning myself. I've tried to do more buildings recently, and I've never really practiced them much until recently. But it's the same sort of principle. Just pick out the main shapes. Only very loose. Don't go doing like very detailed drawings or in fact, I don't do sketches at all. Just put in the main shapes of the buildings. Very, very basic shapes. A few little windows here and there. Once it's dry, put in like the shadow sides. And then you can add, same with the trees, you can add a few things afterwards to fill in the gaps if there are any gaps that need filling, just a little bit of detail afterwards. But all you're doing is just capturing, again, it's just your impression of the scene. If you was doing realism or something like that, that'd be completely different. But all I do is just basic loose impressions. So, I mean, simplifying photograph, it is difficult, but it will come with practice, and your first few attempts will probably look a bit naff, but do stick with it. And like I say, all you're doing, you just look at that photograph and just pick out the main shapes or the main elements, whatever it is you're trying to paint. So instead of doing 100 trees, just do half a dozen and just take it from there. Just little small steps, just small steps. Keep it simple. So part of the question, improving on photographs. I think I'd be disappointed, to be honest, unless it's an absolute cracking photograph. I think I'd be disappointed if the painting didn't look better than the photograph, because you've got so many things available to you in terms of capturing light and changing the tonal values to help improve the painting from the reference photograph you've took, especially the photographs I take. I mean, a lot of them are in Sutton Park, which isn't far from where I live, and it's pretty rare the sun's out, so it's generally a dull day, and half the time I end up having to invent light and shadow. So almost by default, the paintings look better than the photographs. Sometimes it'll be a nice sunny day, and it definitely makes it a lot easier. If you've got a good reference photograph, it definitely helps, because if you've already got the shadows in the reference and you haven't got to try and work out where to invent them, then it helps you create that painting. Josephine asks, how do you choose what to keep and what to lose? And a lot of the time, this will come with practice. You'll get an idea for what a composition should look like. I've already said about, in terms of quantities, if there's 1,000 trees in the painting, obviously you're not going to paint, you don't want to paint 1,000 trees. You're just painting half a dozen here and a half a dozen there, and you, the viewer's imagination will fill the rest in. So you're just keeping these essential elements, again, like I said before, just the main shapes. A lot of the time, and then once you've got that, you'll get a sort of feeling for things where it's other elements that are just sort of complicating the scene. They're not really fitting in. They're sort of ruining the flow of the composition, and these are the things that you leave out. Once you've painted a dozen, couple of dozen paintings from reference photographs, you'll start to get a feel for how what you're looking for in a reference photograph, and you'll start to see things, and you'll automatically start, before you even start the painting, you'll look at the picture. As soon as you've took the picture and you're looking at it on your camera, you'll think, yeah, I'll leave that out. I'll maybe put something in there. It'll just happen, come with experience. Josephine asks about altering colours. And to me, colours, it's more about tonal values, to be honest. I think people tend to get too sort of overcomplicate colours. Colours, I think generally, the fewer colours you use, the better. Keep your palette as small as you possibly can. I've done some paintings recently where I've only used four or five colours, and the big advantage of that is, remember, four or five colours doesn't mean to say there's only going to be four or five colours in the paintings. You can mix. If you experiment with your mixing, you can create so many different colours with just two or three colours. You don't need a whole mass of colour. I think it just makes, possibly just makes people lazy when they can just go into this paint there and paint this without experiencing mixing and learning what you can do from that. In terms of how to alter colours, if you see a tree that's a certain shade of green, you don't have to paint it that same shade of green. In fact, it doesn't even have to be green. It could be anything, really. For me, it's more about tonal values. And that comes to the some of, it's not in the question, but I think is important when asking about how do you use reference photographs for paintings. What I tend to do is, when I've got the reference, I'll put it in like just a very basic photo editor and just turn the contrast up a little bit. If it's not if the reference photo looks a little bit flat and washed out and not much tonal difference, turn the contrast up, and what you're looking for is a definitive section where you can look at it and say, yeah, that bit there is dark, that band, if you like, running across the same, maybe the centre in the foreground or in the background, that's a dark area. Then that in front of that is a light area, and then you've got another dark area, and you've got distinctive lights and darks, and then all the little tonal ranges in between. And so that is what then will help you improve on the reference photograph and create a better painting than what you're seeing in the photo. So thanks for your questions, Josephine. I hope that's give you some sort of insight into how I approach reference photographs and using them for my paintings. It's not easy to start with. There's no shortcuts, but stick with it. Keep practicing. You will get there. It might get frustrating at times, and sometimes you'll feel like giving up, but do stick with it, and then eventually you'll make that breakthrough, just like when you people who are learning to play the guitar or the piano. Eventually you'll recognise the tune and you're off then. So if there's anything you'd like me to talk about in future podcast episodes, just leave it in the comments below on my Patreon page, and I'll include them in future episodes. So as always, thanks for listening. Keep practicing, and I'll speak to you again soon.